is Firepower, only at band.video. And now, your host, Will Johnson.
Good evening. You are witnessing the coup against this president that's sitting in the White House, Donald J. Trump. This is not a novel. This is not a movie. It's not a made-up story. It is actually happening. Now, the left would want us to believe it's not happening, but they're the one that's leading the charge. The deep state consists of the left, and yes, absolutely, there are people that call themselves Republican that are a part of this deep state. Okay, tensions are building. People are on the edge of their seat. The socialist mainstream media is colluding with the Democrats to take out this president. We have to fight against that. The big tech companies are also colluding with the Democrats to stop communication between the president and the citizens of this country. You have Adam Shifty Shift. Okay, Adam Shifty Shift. Nancy Pelosi and the other Democrats trying to fast track this impeachment against President Trump because they know they are running out of time. It reminds me of the devil because he knows he's running out of time as well. See how that goes together? We all know that the left is evil. They do the work of Satan himself. Trump. They're trying to remove Trump from the White House no matter what it takes. Nancy Pelosi already said that she's willing to give it all up, lose the House, everything, if they can get rid of President Trump. See, the problem, the Democrats know that President Trump is gaining support from the American people, from all spectrums. And see, they see that as a problem, and they can't have that. They fear that they can't win the 2020 election, and they know they can't win it. Why do you think they're going so hard at him right now? Because the people are working. This is why. Because people are working. The economy is better. The United States has respect. The U.S. military has respect. He is calling out the Democrats that won't even represent their own districts, their own communities. Baltimore, Elijah Warren McCumming, prime example. So what do we do as Americans? Do we sit idly by and let the Democrats just run all over this president, run all over the American people, let them destroy everything that people in the past have bled, sweat, and died so that we can be here? What do we do? Well, I'm going to tell you, one of the best things you can do is to support this president. Support networks like ours. Engage. When you support and buy stuff from our sponsors, you make this possible. Yes, that's how it works. That's how you engage. A lot of people don't want to go out and talk to different people. A lot of people can't stand confronting liberals because people get heated up. But see, I love that position. I don't mind going out confronting these anti-American, hateful, socialist Democrats, no matter where they are. I truly believe that God has put me in this position to speak out in this day and age. So I need your help. I'm asking, pleading. Go to band.video, and at the top left, click on that little hamburger stack is what they call it. And then right there in the middle, click on Firepower News and you can watch the entire broadcast live right now. Share that with your friends. Tell your friends, tell your family. Go to band.video and check out Firepower News. Let's head on in the studio. All right. We're going to have some wonderful guests on with us tonight, but we're going to talk about this coup that the Democrats and the socialists what they're doing to us. Is completely deranged. President Trump is getting ticked off, rightfully so. And if you're not getting ticked off, then something is wrong. You've got to start getting upset yourself. You've got to realize what they are doing. They're trying to destroy this president. They're trying to destroy this country. And they're willing to do whatever it takes to do it. So we have to unite together. We have to stand up together. We have to realize that it's going to take us to beat this. FirepowerNews.com.
I think it's going to be a total reversal. But I've lived with this. I've lived with this cloud now for almost 3 years. More than that, because it probably started even before. And I think nobody has done what I've done. When you look at tax cuts and regulation cuts and rebuilding our military and right to try, that means people that are terminally ill and very sick have the right to use our medicines, our great medicines, because we're so far ahead of every other country. So many things that we've done. Our vets are now taken care of. We got choice. Nobody thought we could ever get choice. That's when you have to wait online as a vet. You go outside, you get a doctor, we pay the bill. You don't have to wait for 3 weeks to see a doctor if you're a vet. We cherish our vets. At least this administration does, but for many years they didn't. But I take...
Wow, you know what? I have to admit, every single time I hear President Trump get up there and he talks to the press, he talks to these liberals, he talks to the people that hate him, and he straight up confronts them every single time. I like this president even more because he has what it takes. We, this country right now, we need a president that is going to address the issues like President Trump is. What's going on, Tom? Thank you. It was good to see you again. Good to see you again.
Absolutely. Great to be here, Will.
Yeah. We got an exciting night tonight. So, I mean, Trump is so on point and he does it again, you know, and he's upset and he has every right to be upset. And they're saying, oh, President Trump is coming off the edge. He's coming unglued. This is the liberal media. He's having a temper tantrum. It's the left that's having all this temper tantrum. Have you noticed that?
Well, it is, Will. They're having a massive a case of projection is what's going on. They're going to the nth degree to try to take President Trump down with this phony transcript we saw Adam Schiff reading or pretending to read earlier last week. There's the now the issue with the Bidens. You have CNN saying that it never even happened and it's been totally debunked. Nobody knows what Trump is talking about. He's lying. He's going to be impeached. The walls are closing in. All of the same rhetoric. Because they want this guy out of office. President Trump has every right to be angry. He's been sabotaged since day one by the media, by the Democrats, by the deep state. I'm glad he's finally starting to show his teeth a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what? They don't like it. They can't stand it. His teeth are coming out, and they are like, they're terrified, to be honest with you. Now they're trying to spin this saying, oh, President Trump is scared. He's scared. He already called him on their bluff before. He told him to do it. He said, run with the impeachment. Let's go. Cause you don't have anything. The Democrats don't even have a clue that I truly believe that President Trump is playing them. But you know what? President Trump is playing them and he's exposing them to show all of us what he is doing. You know what he's doing and what they are doing to him and to this country. So we have another clip. This is a prime example. They constantly talk about how President Trump is being attacked, right? They're talking about how he's being attacked. So let's go to this clip because President Trump lays it out.
Both ways. Okay.
So the political storm, I've lived with it from the day I got elected. I've done more, and this administration has done more than any administration in the history of this country in the first 2.5 years. I'm used to it. For me, it's like putting on a suit in the morning. People have said to me, how does he handle it? Rush Limbaugh said, I don't know of any man in America that could handle it. Sean Hannity said the same thing. Others have said the same thing. I don't know any man in America because it's all a fraud. And because of that, and because I know that I'm right, and because I'm doing a great job for the American people, I'm very, very happy living the way I'm living. I thought that I would finish off the first term without the threat of people making false claims. But this one turned out to be incredible, all because they didn't know that I had a transcript done by very, very talented people, word for word, comma for comma, done by people that do it for a living. We had an exact transcript. And when we produced that transcript, they died. Because you look at the whistleblower statement, and it's vicious, vicious. And that whistleblower, and there's no question in my mind that some bad things have gone on, and I think we'll get to
You know what? The amazing thing about all of that, Tom,
is that, and we're going to get to that clip too, is that how President Trump or New York Times, I don't want to let it out yet, but it's beautiful. President Trump gave the New York Times some kudos. I mean, because they actually did something that was valid. But we have a clip on that. We'll get to that.
Well, it's a very rare day to see President Trump. He's both smacking these people with one hand and taking the victory lap with the other. Because today we have seen this whole narrative that sucked up the past 2 weeks. Americans have been hearing this nonsense, this total charade for almost two entire weeks now, Will. And today I think the final nail might have been put in that coffin. But President Trump is right. He's been attacked since day one. We saw hours after the polls closed in 2016. Hillary Clinton was already figuring out how she could blame the Russians for her defeat. This has all been scripted since the first day. And what's funny is President Trump has outfoxed them virtually every single time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, every single time. And, you know, they attack him and they bring up all of these fraudulent charges multiple times. Russia, you mentioned Russia, Stormy Daniels, now Ukraine. There's been just multiple stuff. I think it was like 17 different women that came up. What happened to all of them? I mean, so, and, you know, I guarantee like before next year gets here that he's going to, the left is going to come up with another woman to say, oh yeah, he did it to me. You know, he sexually assaulted me, you know, 20 years ago, but we need to talk about it now.
Well, Will, we just had one of those, like, what, 6 months ago, or maybe a little longer. There is the woman who claimed that Trump acted inappropriately and kissed her while on a tour bus. And it was almost instantly that a video surfaced of that woman kissing President Trump's butt, trying to ingratiate herself with him so she would get a spot in the administration. When that doesn't happen, she flips to the other side and says that he acted inappropriate. I mean, these little hoaxes, these scandals, it's almost record time. This has been 15 days tops, and it's already falling apart in their face. We're getting better and better at it. We got to thank the audience for that. You guys are getting better at investigating this and understanding what's really going on.
Exactly. So we have another video. Do you want to lead into this video, talk about it before we play it?
So President Trump was talking at his press conference earlier today about the actions that were taken against him in 2016. And it sounds like the president may finally be moving against these people who started the witch hunt. So let's go ahead and air that clip. President Trump talking about possible litigation.
He met at a time that was impossible to have done unless there's corruption involved. And just so you know, we've been investigating on a personal basis through Rudy and others, lawyers, corruption in the 2016 election. We've been investigating corruption because I probably will be bringing a lot of litigation against a lot of people having to do with the corrupt investigation, having to do with the 2016 election.
For example.
And I have every right to do that. Because the way they've treated me and other people, they've destroyed their lives with a phony charge that never existed, and that was collusion, never existed. And you had 18 people that hated Donald Trump, and you had Bob Mueller that hated Donald Trump, and in the end, they couldn't find one damn thing. I could find it on you. They couldn't find one thing. Not about one. Donald Trump having to do with collusion. This is not after one. 2 years and spending $42 million. Mm. And I've been looking at that long and hard for a long period of time. How it started, why it started, it should never happen to another president, ever. But I've been talking about it from the standpoint of bringing a major lawsuit, and I've been talking about it for a long time. We've been investigating the corruption having to do with what they did to my people. They destroyed many people. They came down to Washington to do a great job, and they left home. They left Washington dark. They were dark. They came down here, I say, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They wanted to do a great job for the people. They wanted to do a great job. We won the election. And then they get served with subpoenas.
All these subpoenas. Yes, subpoenas. You know, we have Nancy Pelosi throwing subpoenas out like they're cookies. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've heard me say over and over again, the dark days of the revolution, Thomas Paine said, the times have found us. We think the times have found us now. Not that we place ourselves in a category of greatness of our founders, but we do place ourselves in a time of urgency on the threat to the Constitution, a system of checks and balances that is being made. They fought for our independence. They declared independence. They fought and won. They established a democracy. Thank God they made the Constitution amendable so we could always ever be expanding freedom.
I mean, that's really not a laughing matter, but it's a joke. She's a joke. These Democrats, these communist socialists that's on the Hill right now, they're all jokes. Every last one of them. Tom, I mean, this is remarkable. I mean, you know what? Because the U.S. Constitution doesn't have what we want in there with the amendment. We'll put it in there so we can get the president. We gotta get him.
Well, and to me, Will, that almost sounded like she's pointing out very subtly. By the way, you know, the founders were all racist, right? You know, all the terrible things that they didn't put in the Constitution. Thankfully, we were able to update it. But she thinks this is the new Revolutionary War. She thinks she's Thomas Jefferson, or maybe she's George Washington. She's fighting President Trump. She's going to bring down the tyrant. This is reality turned on its head. It's an absolute travesty to think people take this woman seriously. I don't know how you can. I don't know how anybody can listen to that woman and take her seriously. She sounds like those dentures are about to go flying out of her face any second now.
She probably can afford those implants.
You would think so. You would think
Yeah, you would think so. Implants. Oh, maybe it's just the alcohol. I don't know. I don't know. She might be, and you never know. I mean, she has before.
Wine country. That's right.
Yeah. 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 I've been to her home in California where she has a beautiful vineyard. I mean, it's immaculate. But anyways, you know, they would do anything to get this president, and she's handing out subpoenas like cookies. President Trump even said it. I mean, you need a subpoena. 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 I got subpoenas for everybody. It's like Vegas, baby. Subpoenas for everybody. This is President Trump talking about those subpoenas. Let's go to it.
And then they get served with subpoenas. All these subpoenas. Now look at Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi hands out subpoenas like, you know, she has to approve it. She hands out subpoenas like they're cookies. You want a subpoena? Here you go. Take them like they're cookies. Paul Ryan would never give anybody a subpoena. He wouldn't give them when Mark Meadows went in to talk. He wouldn't give them when Jim Jordan went in, when Devin Nunes. He would go in and they'd see Paul. I'm not saying wrong or right. But Paul Ryan, no, let's talk about it. That's a big thing to give a subpoena. Let's talk about it. 2 weeks later, they're still talking. They wanted subpoenas to investigate the corrupt Democrats and the corrupt people on the other side. Paul Ryan would not give subpoenas. Nancy Pelosi, here you go. Take it. Who wants a subpoena? Every day you get subpoenas.
I wonder if I can go up on the Hill and get me a subpoena. I don't know what I need one for just yet, but I mean, maybe I can go get one.
That's right. Well, and you know, Will, I love that President Trump is throwing more shade at Paul Ryan, who is, of course, completely ineffectual during his time in the House. Probably a lot of the reason why we lost the House in 2018, but this issue is still ongoing. Republicans right now could subpoena Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, who had this cushy $50,000 a month job.
Yes.
Republicans could do that today, tonight. They could get it done. And instead, they're letting Nancy Pelosi call up, oh, this guy made phone calls for Trump in 2016. Let's give him a subpoena. Here's a cookie. I mean, it's a subpoena for you. Yeah, a subpoena.
You know, and it's amazing. They drill it. I can't believe President Trump talked to the Ukrainian president about Joe Biden and his son. He shouldn't do that. He's not allowed to do that. Who cares that he's the president talking to another world leader? Who cares that United States and Ukraine has an agreement together since Bill Clinton signed it in 1998 that we can look into corruption between the two countries? Who cares about all of that? He did it. He shouldn't be able to do it. President Trump addresses it. He addressed it today in this press conference. But they won't look at what the actual crime is. And that is Joe Biden, what you just said, Joe Biden and his son. My goodness, Joe Biden was the freaking VP under Obama when this took place. It's a huge story, and they don't even want to investigate it.
Well, you know, Will, you called this, by the way, last week on this very program, where you pointed out that this is eerily reminiscent of the WikiLeaks, where they don't want you to focus on the actual crimes or the actual evidence. They want you to focus instead of the circumstances of how it was brought to the public. It's this weird little shape-shifting trick that the mainstream media and the Democrats think they can play.
Yes.
And I'm very optimistic that Americans are not falling for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe this next clip is President Trump talking about Joe Biden and his son and how corrupt they really are, and you know, the media as well. But let's go to that clip.
A country for years and years. We're not the sucker country anymore. But I gave the money because Rob Portman and others called me and asked. But I don't like to be the sucker. And European countries are helped far more than we are, and those countries should pay more to help Ukraine. Ask a question, please.
Thank you, sir.
What about Mr. Biden?
What did you want about Biden? What did you want him to look into on Biden?
Look, Biden and his son are stone cold crooked, and you know it. His son walks out with millions of dollars. The kid knows nothing. You know it, and so do we. Go ahead, ask a question.
The question, sir, was what did you want President Zelensky to do about Vice President Biden and his son, Hunter?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up of what I just asked you, sir.
Listen, you ready? We have the president of Finland. Ask him a question.
I have one for him. I just wanted to follow up on the one that I asked you, which
did you hear me?
Did you want?
Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Ask him a question.
I will, but
I've given you a long answer. Ask.
He already gave the gentleman an answer, and he's not accepting it.
No, sir, I don't want to be rude. I just wanted you to have a chance to answer the question that I asked you.
I've answered everything.
Being rude, but civil about it.
It's a whole hoax, and you know who's playing into the hoax? People like you and the fake news media that we have in this country. And I say, in many cases, the corrupt media, because you're corrupt. Much of the media in this country is not just fake, it's corrupt. And you have some very fine people, too. Great journalists, great reporters, but to a large extent, it's corrupt and it's fake. Ask the president of Finland a question, please.
Okay, I'll move on now. Mr. President, in your opening remarks, you said to President Trump that you had been to some museums today and that you respected the U.S. democracy and encouraged him to continue it. Are you concerned that that's not happening? And my second question to you, sir, is the WTO...
You know what? I love the fact that President Trump would call him out. I love the fact that he calls him out. And it's all a total hoax. I mean, Tom, it's a complete total hoax. And let me put it this way. They expect the American people, and I say this repeatedly, they expect the American people not to be smart enough or intelligent enough to grasp exactly what they're doing. They keep doing it. And they're not going to stop doing it. I mean, it's amazing, but you know what? We have President Trump right now, Tom, in office, and he's going to be president tomorrow and after that, and I'm willing to bet he's going to be president come 2020. They don't like it. They can't stand it. It just runs all through them because Satan is controlling them, but we have God on our side. We'll be back.
Real news, real people, real politics. This is Firepower.
All right, so President Trump, I have to say, as far as the political world, as far as being president, he is a political genius. And the Democrats, they can't stand it. He has controlled the media, the mainstream media. He'll put a tweet out there and they will go completely off the hinges. They will go completely off the rails, off the tracks, whatever it is. They will lose their stuff when President Trump speaks. So Tom, we have a clip with President Trump talking about how he's a stable genius. And I just love it. Like I said, every time he goes out there and he speaks, he reminds me why he is the best president we have in this day and age right now. So let's go to this clip.
Thank you, sir. Jeff Mason from Reuters. Mr. President, I'd like to ask you about your use of the word treason. You've used it repeatedly in the last few days. Do you consider anyone who opposes you treasonous?
No. I consider when they lie, when they stand before our great body in our great chamber, and they make up a story that's fiction, like Schiff did. He took that perfect conversation I had with the Ukrainian president, and he made it into a total lie. It was a total fabrication. And you do admit that. It was a total fabrication. He said, this is what. And the only ones that don't like my conversation are the ones that never read it, but they heard Shifty Schiff. That's what I call a lie. And because of the fact that he's lying about the President of the United States and as to what the President says. You know, I believe it or not, I watch my words very carefully. There are those that think I'm a very stable
genius. Stop it real quick. Okay, you see right here on the screen. Can you go to camera three for me real quick? See, look, this is the Communist News Network. They decided while President Trump was talking, they were waiting to put this up here. Intelligence Community Inspector General says whistleblower had direct knowledge of certain alleged conduct. At what point did the whistleblower all of a sudden have, you know, direct knowledge? And then it goes on to say the whistleblower has received information from multiple U.S. government officials. So does that mean that he had direct contact with the officials? So that means it's not secondhand? So where did the officials get the information from? And then they passed it to the whistleblower. So how many times did it get passed down before it got to the whistleblower? This is ridiculous. This is exactly why the fake news, what President Trump constantly talks about, continue.
Closely, and to have somebody get up and to totally fabricate a conversation that I had with another leader and make it sound so bad. It was so evil. And now I see this that just came out minutes ago, where he met at a time that was impossible to have done unless there's corruption involved. And just so you know, we've been investigating on a personal basis through Rudy and others, lawyers, corruption in the 2016 election. We've been investigating corruption because I probably will be bringing a lot of litigation against a lot of people having to do with the corrupt investigation, having to do with the 2016 election.
For example.
And I have every right to do
it. He has every right to do it. And you know what? He should do it. Be honest with you, the American people thought, Mr. President, you were going to do it a lot sooner. I mean, be honest with you, I don't know what he's waiting on, Tom. To be honest.
I'm sure that certain people are holding things over his head. I'm sure that they are telling him he'll never get the wall built. He'll never get immigration handled. He'll never get trade handled if he doesn't play along. But it was really fascinating. And I'm so glad you pointed that out, Will, because you have CNN trying to fact check the president in real time. That was a live broadcast, if I understand correctly, when they put those so-called facts up on the screen. And the facts do nothing to contradict what President Trump said. Not only that, they make CNN look bad. I mean, you have them admitting essentially that the whistleblower has no firsthand information. He's getting leaks from top U.S. government officials, and then he is becoming the whistleblower. That's not how any of this works, or at least that's not how it worked up until they changed all of this right before they decided to go live with this phony whistleblower. Then you have the ICIG being quoted, and he specifically, the ICIG, alleged conduct. None of this is representative of reality, and yet CNN is using it to try to program their view or at least tell them that what Trump's saying isn't right. Whether or not what they are putting on screen is correct, they're just trying to prove Trump is lying to you and within the minds of their feeble audience.
Yep, because then when they go and they read on the side, oh, President Trump is lying. It says it right there. He had direct contact. Oh, but then it says he talked to government officials. Seriously? So it's hearsay getting passed down. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we have another clip here where Schiff. This is amazing. And this is where President Trump gives credit to the New York Times. Now, if you haven't seen this clip, everyone is playing or watching and listening. If you have not seen or heard this clip, You are about to be amazed, because I'm like, what? He giving New York Times some kudos? What? What? I mean, wow. Okay, let's go to this clip.
Maybe for the first time in 3 years, I'll have a good question, and I'll love it.
There is a report that came out just before you and President Inishto walked out here that the whistleblower met with a staff member of Adam Schiff prior
to the complaint being
filed.
It shows that Schiff is a fraud.
And I
love that question. Thank you, John.
So can I finish asking?
Yes, there's nothing to finish.
So the whistleblower, according to this report, met with a member of Adam Schiff's staff. You got it right there. You know it.
I hate to say it's the New York Times. I can't believe they wrote it.
Your response to the
maybe they're getting better.
Your response to the fact that that happened and that Schiff may have learned some of what the whistleblower knew prior to the complaint.
Well, I think it's a scandal that he knew before. I go a step further. I think he probably helped write it. Okay? That's what the word is. And I think it's, I give a lot of respect for the New York Times for putting it out. Just happened as I'm walking up here, they handed it to me. And I said to Mike, I said, whoa, that's something. That's big stuff. That's a big story. He knew long before, and he helped write it too. It's a scam. It's a scam.
Just to finish on this,
I appreciate it. I love that second question, by the way. Should have asked it first. but let me just tell you, the whole thing is a scam.
All of it's a scam. Now, Tom, to my understanding, Shifty Schiff, he's over like the intelligence community? Is that what it is? And they're saying, why in the world is he doing anything that has to do with the impeachment? What is he doing? And now he got a tip from the whistleblower before it became public or anything before the whistleblower blew the whistle? My God, is this not straight up coup? I mean, we're seeing it. That's exactly what this is. We're seeing the coup play out right before our eyes.
That's right. I mean, if this were happening in another country, say it were happening in Israel or Syria or pick any other country, the U.S. media would be reporting that there is a coup against the government of Israel. There is a coup against the government of Australia, whatever government it is. But what is so important about this is, so not only did Shifty Schiff get up there and he told his colorful parody is what he called it. It was an out and out lie. Not only did he do that, he did that with prior knowledge of what the whistleblower had to say, which I think President Trump might be onto something. I think Schiff's team and the whistleblower probably got together and they thought, all right, we don't think he has a transcript, so we can determine what Trump said. So let's come up with a narrative. Let's come up with our version of events, and then we'll just claim that's what President Trump did. I mean, what Schiff said that day just a little while ago was some of the most egregious things I've ever heard spoken by a congressman. Mm-hmm. And now we know that not only did he say it, not only was it a lie, but he likely colluded with the whistleblower.
And probably helped write it, like President Trump said. I mean, it's all right there. I mean, completely. So when we come back, we have another clip where President Trump is talking about the corruption of the mainstream media. He lays it all out. And rightfully so, he's calling them fake news. They're corrupted 100%. They take a lie and then they run with it. If you tell the liberal 2 + 2 = 4, they will argue with you and say, no, the 4 can identify as something else. We'll be back.
What about Mr. Biden?
What did you want about Biden? What did you want him to look into on Biden?
Look, Biden and his son are stone cold crooked. And you know it. His son walks out with millions of dollars. The kid knows nothing. You know it, and so do we. Go ahead, ask a question.
The question, sir, was what did you want President Zelensky to do about Vice President Biden and his son, Hunter?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up of what I just asked you, sir.
Listen, you ready? We have the President of Finland. Ask him a question.
I have one for him. I just wanted to follow up on the one that I asked you, which
did
was,
you hear
what
me?
Did you want
did you hear
to...
me?
Yes,
ask
sir.
Him a question.
I will. But
I've given you a long answer. Ask this gentleman a question. Don't be rude.
No, sir, I don't want to be rude. I just wanted you to have a chance to answer the question that I asked
you. I've answered everything. It's a whole hoax. And you know who's playing into the hoax? People like you and the fake news media that we have in this country. And I say in many cases, the corrupt media, because you're corrupt. Much of the media in this country is not just fake, it's corrupt. And you have some very fine people, too. Great journalists, great reporters. But it, to a large extent, it's corrupt and it's fake.
Yes, It's all corrupt and it's all fake. That's why a lot of people right now can't stand the liberal media. They can't stand what they're doing. They're completely fed up with every last one of them. When you see CNN, the first thing that comes to your mind is fake news. And they're totally corrupt. CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, the whole Alphabet Network soup group, they're all corrupt because they've been lying from the get-go. All right, so let's get back to it. We still have Tom with us. Tom, these leftist, liberal, media, socialist, communists, they don't care about the truth. They don't care what they're doing to this country. They don't care. You would think it, I repeat this, you would think that they would finally figure it out.
Well, you would think so, but you know, well, it's even worse. Now there's virtually no network with a wide distribution that's on the cable networks that is going to be fair. We don't want somebody to be pro-Trump. We want people to be fair. Even Fox News is sliding rapidly. You had Rush Limbaugh today going out hard against Fox News. And you know, Will, that's why it's so important that people support this broadcast, that they support Band.video and our sponsor, InfoWarsStore.com, because we're here to actually tell you reality. We want to just show you what's happening in the world. And that's almost unheard of. Now, of course, we have biases. We support President Trump. We're honest about that. So this is an important time and an important message to go to InfoWarsStore.com, who sponsors this broadcast. These are the final days of this phenomenal Black Friday sale where you can get 50% off both anything on InfoWars Life and on preparedness. So you can be prepared for when the Democrats eventually take down the grid, because I wouldn't doubt it. They want us to go back to 1985 desperately. I could see it happening. So InfoWarsStore.com, these are products that will help you change your life. You need them anyway. This 50% off Black Friday sale is going soon. So get it while it's hot, folks.
Yep. You know what? You're absolutely right. And not to be trying to say it just to be doing a plug, but because people support our sponsors is the reason why we're here right now. And to give a true story, the DNA Force. Now, my wife, she likes to take the DNA Force. We moved from California to Texas, and because the humidity is like unbearable here, it's terrible. She was complaining about aches, and you said before you broke your wrist, I believe, and after taking the DNA Force, you saw the world of difference. My wife, she says she can function. She's not even feeling. She can just go about her day. She started getting low on the DNA Force, and she said, get me more. Get me more. And I said, okay, I'll get you more. I went to purchase more, and they're completely out. That's how good it is. They're completely out. So what I did is I went to the InfoWarsStore.com for the DNA Force. You can click and say, notify me when it's back in stock. I had to do that right there. Join the waiting list. I'm like, I should be able to get quick access. They're a sponsor, but I have to wait just like everybody else. But you know what? That's okay, because it is absolutely wonderful. I know how good it is. They're going to get more. I know, I don't mean to talk about it, but dude, the products just work. Let's go on to this other one. Now, this is AOC. We gotta get back to this because AOC, as she's completely out there, she is a lunatic. I don't mean to be mean or talk bad about a female or anything, but my goodness, come on. There's only so much. So let's go to that clip.
On the steps, you had pushed House Democrats to go a little further. Is this the type of action that you were asking for when we spoke on Friday afternoon?
Yeah, I think that we all, you know, many of us, especially from districts that are experiencing the brunt of the president's decisions, have been feeling a sense of urgency around this. But I think the development around the whistleblower, I think these developments are exactly, you know, where we need to be.
She's saying this is exactly what we need. She said, yes, this is exactly what we need. This is what the country need to go through this whole impeachment finagle over nothing. There's nothing there. This is what we need. This is what she's saying, Tom. This is how they think. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting. AOC has, of course, been pushing for impeachment long before this absurd phone call that it turns out wasn't anything bad. She's been pushing for impeachment since the day she got into office. Nancy Pelosi has been, God bless her, she previously was doing everything she could to get Democrats to back away from impeachment, saying you can't just impeach somebody you don't like. And now AOC is running the party. You have the squad. It used to be a joke, but more and more we see the squad actually running the Democrat Party. There's no other way to look at this.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Okay, so I want to get to these other clips before we run out of time here. So we have another one, and you brought this one to the table. This is with Hillary Clinton. Oh, my goodness. I mean, all of a sudden, they're trying to impeach President Trump, and then, bam, they come out with Hillary Clinton. She snuck out, crawled from up under her rock, wherever she came from, and here she is. You know, talking about President Trump is not the actual president. He's not the president, everybody. I am. You remember that? That's her. Let's go to the clip.
Is that a balloon?
Yeah. Let's go to the clip.
With you. And also, they're chanting, lock her up. I mean, he has every criminal working for him, and they're worried about locking you up, okay? Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
Well, I think three things. First, I do think that he knows that he's an illegitimate president. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he's very insecure about it. Mm-hmm. Look what he's trying to do now. I mean, part of the Ukraine scandal that is slowly coming to light is he's trying to figure out how to say, no, it wasn't the Russians, even though our intelligence community and everyone who's looked at this said, yeah, it was the Russians. He's trying to say, no, somehow it was, Obama, Hillary, whoever. So he's obsessed with the fact that he was helped a lot in unprecedented ways.
His ego can't handle it.
Yeah, he can't handle it. But the second thing is he accuses other
people. I mean, really? I mean, Tom, really? I mean, she crawled from up on the rock saying that he's not a legitimate president and he should go away because I'm so supposed to be president.
Well, Will, you're forgetting it was her turn. But no, speaking seriously, though, this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. We have the United States government saying, yes, Ukraine meddled in the 2016 presidential election. That was reported in Politico by a writer who is now at the New York Times. This is as leftist gets. And now we have Hillary Clinton saying, what you're seeing is President Trump trying to deflect from the fact that Vladimir Putin helped him win. These people are so insane, and the fact that they think, I don't know what Hillary is doing. I don't know if she's trying to help sell her daughter's book. I don't know if she's going to run for president again. But the fact that anyone thinks this woman is taken seriously by a majority of Americans is an absolute joke.
Yeah, absolutely. So then you remember, what was it, Beto talking about, I'm going to take the AR-15s and your AK-47s. I'm going to take them all. So now we got Buttigieg in the news. I guess he wanted some of that limelight as well. So let's go and watch Buttigieg here. My goodness.
And look, we know what we've got to do. I'm guessing that pretty much everybody in the parade of candidates you're about to see is going to call for universal background checks, closing the hate loophole, the Charleston loophole, the boyfriend loophole, disarming domestic abusers, enacting red flag laws, extreme risk protection orders, banning the sale of assault weapons like what I carried in Afghanistan. We know what we have to do. The question is, how do we make sure that this time really is different? Because every time we say this time is different. And all of the plans, of course, I think my plan is the best. So does everybody else. All of them are multiplied by zero if we don't actually get something done. And so this is not just a question about policy. This is a question about power.
This dude is sick. People are not carrying the same rifles that they carry in warfare. They keep putting that information out there. They keep doing it and people don't even recognize it. And it's completely insane.
Well, all right, Will, so it's even worse because he admits it's about power. Sorry.
Yes, it is. It is. He keeps saying it's about the power. All right. So this is Firepower News. We have more coming up after this. This is insane, people. Wake up before it's too late. We'll be back.
Forged in the fire of truth. Firepower with Will Johnson.
talking to me? Are you talking to me? Dude's a big boss. And you know what? That's what this country needs right now. We need a president that has a pair. Trump is the big boss, right? Tom, what do you think about Trump? You know, cause they constantly say that, you know, Trump is like the big boss, or he's the mob boss. He set him straight. He set him straight. He is the boss. Straight up, he is the boss.
Well, you know, there is something attractive about the idea of having an actually powerful president. And President Trump, when he enters the stage, he is a commanding figure. He takes control and he does not let go of it. That was what made him stand out in 2015 and 16 in the Republican debates. And just imagine if it had been any other president. I mean, I don't like any of the living presidents. I'll be completely honest. None of them are decent. But imagine if you had George W. Bush. Imagine if he were actually a patriot who did the things that he campaigned on. He would have been crushed under the weight of the media. President Obama, if he didn't have something like 96% positive coverage in the media, he would have been utterly demolished. Had he had one person come up to him and actually hold his feet to the fire, he would have been demolished. President Trump is the only man who has run in my lifetime, or probably your lifetime, who has actually had the power, the authority, the authoritative personality to get in front of these people and say, no, listen to me. I'm telling the truth. You're spitting back George Soros's talking points.
Yeah, absolutely. You know who's not a boss and who would never be president? Beto. I mean, for some reason, he acts like we want to watch him getting a flu shot. I mean, seriously, why do we want to watch that? I'm like, they're injecting him with vaccines. And it was really crazy. What is really crazy is that they won't even tell you what's in these flu shots. But he's like, yes, everybody get one. Let's show that clip. Look at this dude.
No crying.
Look at this dude.
Take a deep breath.
It looked like he about ready to cry. Oh, look at his eyebrow. Okay. Yeah, I'm a big boy. I'm a big boy.
No crying.
I can do this. I'm a big boy. Look at him. That's the expression on his face. Look, oh, I'm getting the top. I'm a big boy. I can do this. Look, oh, yay, me. Do I get lollipop now? See, that's what I see. That's exactly what I see with him. Why does he have to put this on video? Why does he have to put this out on the internet? Who cares? No one needs to see this. He's not a boss. Now, speaking about a big boss, President Trump. I love it when during the press conference, he goes, you're talking to me. You know, I'm like, and the guy's like, yeah, I'm talking to you. I mean, seriously, you're talking to me. That is a boss. He, like you said, he will take control of the situation. He stands strong. And you know, even when he goes to other countries and then when they try to shun him, he will step up. I think it was the first time when he first won the election. He went overseas, and I think it was like the G7 or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But they were trying to push him in the back. And I don't know if you recall that, but he was stepped up there, and he pushed him to the side. No, I'm the President of the United States. I was like, yes, yes, yes. I was like, yes, that's how you do it. Not like Obama. Bow down, bow down, bow down. That's what Obama was doing. He stepped up to him, bow down. So play that clip real quick. Let's play that where President Trump said he's the boss. Play that.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up of what I just asked you, sir.
Listen, you ready? We have the president of Finland. Ask him a question.
I have one for him. I just wanted to follow up on the one that I asked you.
Rewind it back. One more time. I got it here. Take it back.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up.
You talking to me?
Listen.
It's like the accent come out. The New York kid come out. You talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up.
You talking to me? Of course. He's like, you talking to me? All right. Firepowernews.com. We'll be back.
Forged in the fire of truth. Firepower with Will Johnson.
Yeah.
FirePowerNews.com. Thank you for joining us for this second hour. We have a special guest with us. So we have Leo Dunson. He is an author, an activist, and a musician. Very talented young man. And he is in Vegas. So without further ado, let's bring him on, Mr. Dunson. There he is. Thank you for joining us. It's good. Thank you for being here, man. I've been waiting to get you on with us. It's very exciting. This is the first time I've seen you without a tie.
Right.
First time, but it's all good. I'm glad you're here. And riding a shotgun with me is Tom Pepper. So it's cool. So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
We met at the Black Influencers in Arizona and we became really close. And you were like I was living in your hometown when I was in California. You know, so we talk and stuff like that. But let me ask you this. What has been your experience being a Black conservative?
Well, I mean, my experience has been, it's been mixed, from conservatives, it's been amazing, right? Conservatives are like, welcome, your whole life you hear that if you become a conservative, they're so racist, right? So your whole life you hear that if you become a conservative, 100%, you're going over there with the racists. And then you get over here and it's like a big love party, right? So you're like, wow, that's not what I heard.
Yep.
From liberals, it hasn't been that great, right? The racism that I have received, unfortunately, I've received from the Democrats. I've been called, the House N-word. I've been called coons. I've been called anything that you can name from liberals, the things that they said I would be called from conservatives. So it's really been a mixed signal. Because you would think that you would be, they say they're tolerant, but you would think they would tolerate me having a different views or different principles.
Yeah, you would think, you would think. So Tom is right. He's co-hosted with me. You have a question, Tom?
Well, I love what you just said because it seems like the left is pro diversity of everything else except opinion. So if you have a diverse opinion, then you're going to be totally kicked out. So I'm wondering, have you had any type of career setbacks as a result of becoming a conservative or anything along those lines?
Ooh, so far not, thank God. But who knows, right? Twitter is blocking us. Right. Yep. We're being blocked on YouTube. We're being blocked on Facebook, and I get some of the same stuff. I got blocked. I just started a new Twitter because my Twitter last night, they got 20,000 followers on it, is being blocked.
Wow.
So I literally just started that Twitter. I started last night. You can literally look at the date. I started it last night because my Twitter with 20,000 followers is being blocked. So I'm like, what's going on? My reach, they won't allow me to get no reach. My YouTube, some videos will do 100,000 views and some of them will do 200 views, and I have almost 80,000 subscribers. So it just goes ups and down. I haven't had any personal, setbacks, thank God, so far. But I try to keep my political affiliations between me and myself, too.
As, it's sad that you have to do that. Let me ask you, what do you think, what is your response when they tell you that President Trump is racist?
My response, one, I think it's completely offensive, right? I think that we have to stop throwing around the race card. I remember they called Bush a racist. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I remember when they called Bush a racist, right? Yep. They called Romney a racist.
Yep.
Right. So anybody who's Republican is racist.
Yeah.
Right. We have to stop throwing that around. My other thing, reason why I think it's offensive is anything that they've called Trump racist about, he's came out and said that for example, with the whole white supremacy thing, he came out and said that I'm against this. I 100% disavow white supremacy. Don't vote for somebody who's a white supremacist. How many times does he have to say I'm against this? Before you say, my thing is you have to go judge a man. I always say this by the content, don't judge a man by the color of his skin, but judge him by the content of his character. Mm-hmm. I mean, judge him by what he's done, by what he does.
Right.
And if he was a racist president, there's a lot of things he can institute that's racist. Right. The first thing that he would do wouldn't be to fund the HBCU, the historical black college. Right. That wouldn't be the first thing a racist would do. A racist wouldn't be the first president in 30 years to talk about criminal justice reform and actually pass it.
Thank you.
Be the first president in 50 years to pass a piece of legislation. Look, executive order called the Urban Revitalization Act, designed specifically to help black people. So a racist wouldn't do anything. Obama didn't have one piece of legislation for us.
Trump,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, so I was just going to say, you know, they're coming up with new ways to be racist, because you're right. President Trump has done nothing racist. But, you know, I'm sure you've heard of this now, the OK sign. This is apparently a white supremacy sign, and President Trump has made that sign. So what do you think of these bizarre moving goalposts of now you're a racist if you have a bowl cut or if you've ever said it's A-OK?
Right. And I mean, if many things now, you know, that's racist. If you say, you know, I'm for religious freedom, you're racist.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
If you say you're pro-life, you're racist. You know, so the, I mean, the goalposts, and I was actually just meeting, believe it or not, I had coffee with the Nevada Republican Party, with members of their party today, just a minute ago. And we were talking about this goalpost movement that now they say it's a dog whistle, right? So just like you said, the hand signal is a dog whistle. Oh, he know what he doing. Right now it's a conspiracy, right? So no, I'm completely, you know, me, I haven't drank the Kool-Aid. You know, I'm off of the plantation mindset thinking, and my whole life goal is to help other black people to think rationally and to think, you know, independently of how they taught us to think. I actually just had my first event called Make Black America Great Again, where I talked specifically about this. Exactly.
That's awesome. Let me ask you this, because this is something that kind of like dawned on me. Ever since I woke up and just doing, you know, speaking out, being activist myself, have you noticed a pattern? And you kind of alluded to it. When someone is white and they do something that help a black person, they end up calling that white person racist. They did it to Bush. They did it to Trump. Specifically right now, a prime example is Trump. Because Trump has done more for black people than any Democrat in the history of this nation. He has done more for black people. So guess what? They call him racist. Have you noticed that? Or is it just something that I'm just seeing?
No, I think that it's when it's the fear of you, of them ever losing their constituency. Mm. Right?
They feel like they're losing some property. They feel like they're about to lose some property, and they got to go retrieve it.
Right, exactly. And they have to ensure that they keep that property.
Yep.
You know, so I think that it's more or less the fear of losing a constituency, because, I mean, a prime example of this is, you know, as well as I know, how much Trump was loved in black America before he ran for president.
Yep.
Right? I mean, this dude, they put out a study that he was mentioned in over 200 rap songs, 200 different rap songs, glorified. You know, I can name a few myself. I listened to Nas. I remember he mentioned him in that song. A song that Nas made.
Yes.
Nas would 100% be against that today. He would say, oh no, I never said that. different time, you know.
Yeah.
So that's one just, you know, short example of how, you know, and you got to think, why is our mindset, like, why is our plantation mindset to just say, you know, we love this guy just yesterday, and then now you tell us he's a racist, and we say, oh yeah, now he's a racist. Why do we have that kind of ill thinking when we know we were just glorifying him? We stayed at his hotels. We loved his suits, his ties. Yep. I mean, we've been completely involved with his shows. We loved his show.
Yep. We had no issues. Yeah, we had no issues with President Trump when he wasn't president. But now all of a sudden we're supposed to have all these issues with President Trump. We're supposed to be against him. We're supposed to be attacking him. We're not supposed to realize that he is doing good things for this country. That's what they don't want us to realize. They want us to be dumbed down. They want us to be tricked. We'll be right back. All right. So, during the break, I was talking to the guys in the control room here, and they brought something to my attention on President Trump's Twitter page. This video is absolutely priceless. You know what? Trump put this video out there, and the last, I think right now, was like 7.3 million views. And it straight up says everything. And the liberal media is lying, saying it's not even true. So let's play this little clip.
Have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
Look at this photograph. Every time it ever makes me laugh. Why did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head?
Wow, that is so beautiful. You know what? I have to admit it. I love this president. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't hold back. He'll smack them where they need to be smacked.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, it's good stuff, good stuff. So I think when we went out to the break, I had a question, but I had the last question. So I think we'll go ahead and let Tom ask this question.
Well, so Leo, I know you're a musician. I hope listening to Nickelback wasn't too painful for you there, but I just wanted to, I'm always interested in hearing these stories that people have. Have you always been a conservative? And if not, how did you come around to President Trump and, populism and his brand of conservatism?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't always been a conservative. I actually was the vice president of the Young Democrats at UNLV at the college I went to. And I was instrumental, actually, in helping Obama come there and speak in 2012 when he came and spoke at the college. But no, I haven't been a conservative my whole life. But after Obama, I shouldn't say after Obama, I should say 2012 Obama is when I started researching the parties. Because after his first term, I was like, man, nothing didn't get done, you know? And I just felt, and I felt like I started looking around my communities, and I've knew this growing up. I knew I was a de facto Democrat growing up, but the city councilmen in Oakland are Democrats. The mayor is a Democrat. Every single person who controls the entire organization of political politics in Oakland are Democrat. And I was like, man, it's mass poverty. It's crime like crazy. And they're in charge. And they've been in charge since I've been alive and before. And so when Obama went into office, I said, okay, well, things are to change now, right? And then after those 4 years, nothing changed. So then I had to start research. I said, okay, I can't just keep hearing about this boogeyman, the Republican Party, and not go see what's actually going on. So right. I started researching, and I found out that the Republican Party was the one who instituted the 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment. It was the Republican Party who mostly voted for the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act. I found out that it was the Democrat Party who voted for all the lynching law, who voted for, I mean, you could go on and on and on with the things that the Democrats voted for that we were told the other side voted for.
Yes.
And so it really blew my mind, to be honest with you. It really blew my mind. And the research is what made me become conservative. So going into the 2016 election, I was 100% Republican. I was at first going to vote for Jeb Bush, believe it or not.
Wow.
Right. I was just going to toe the party line. You know, she was like, Jeb Bush? This guy's crazy.
let me ask you this. Do you think more blacks and minorities are supporting President Trump and why?
Oh, yeah, without question. I mean, think about this. In North Carolina, President Trump won 35% of the African-American vote. And that was like, whoa. I mean, everyone's scared to this day because of that number. Right. So he has huge minority support. And I think mostly because of people like you, Will, people like me that have been outspoken black conservatives that, you know, just independent media that they have come across and went, wow, I didn't even know I could be conservative. You know what I mean? And they're like, cause this is the honest truth. We didn't know this.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the black community, they're always told that you have to be Democrat because the Democrats will take care of you. Right. Which has been one of the biggest lies that's come out of that party.
Right. And so our whole lives, like I said, my grandmother told me when I was 8 years old, I was on a commercial with Bill Clinton and she told me that I was a Democrat. So my whole life, I've been told that this is who I was supposed to be. Now, I hope that doesn't hurt me in my primary. No, I'm playing. If I ever run, they're going to have Bill Clinton with his hand on my back in the commercial. So we know who he really is.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. So, but no, and the research brought me to my conservative ideas. I was always conservative in my principles. I always believed in pro-life. Yep, yep. I always for traditional marriage. You know, yep. I always was for, fiscal responsibility and personal accountability. I've never blamed anybody else for my condition or my situation. I always thought I was supposed to do it myself. I just think once I found out that there was a party that allied with me, then
you're right. And there's a lot of black people and minorities that are seeing that same thing. I mean, it's amazing. I think Tom had a question.
So I've got to ask, I mean, if you have grandma hooking you up with Bill Clinton, I mean, what is it going to be like here in a little over a month when you're at the Thanksgiving table? Have you been disinvited? Right. Are you red pilling the family? How does this work?
Right. No, I'm not disinvited, but politics aren't brought up. Right. I mean, they have like disclaimers. Leo's coming. You know, there's disclaimers. I will say at one point, when I first came out, I was definitely, I would say, I felt like many of them felt like I was disinvited, right? When I first started just really speaking my mind, because when I first started speaking my mind, I wasn't pro-Trump, I was anti-Obama, right? I started talking in Obama's second term, I just started just laying in on him. Right. You know what I mean? Every video I put out, I just tell it the truth, you know? Yeah. Like, this guy isn't doing anything. And people, oh, we'll just give him time. And, you know, he has all this opposition. And, you know, they gave him.
Yeah.
And so that was what made them, you know, kind of really say, hey, man, you need to calm down about this stuff about Obama. Because, you know, black people love Obama no matter what.
Oh, yeah. You're not supposed to be saying that. What are you doing? You're not supposed to be saying anything. What are you doing? So let me ask you this question here. What do you think about the Democrats trying to impeach President Trump, and where do you think it's going to lead to?
I think that it's, you know, I really hope that this is something that they go away from, because I really think it could lead down a really bad path in our democracy, because we know from the facts and the evidence that they have no reason to impeach President Trump. But I do think that they can use this as a political ploy to say he's an impeached president. We do know he's not going to be removed because the Senate isn't going to remove him, right? They're not going to vote to remove him. But if the Democrats do go down this impeachment, trail and just go ahead and impeach him, I think this could lead to a really, really tragic place for our country, because we don't want to just impeach presidents just because of our political partisanship. Exactly. He hasn't done anything. Right. Exactly. And I made a whole video about this. And when you seen, I think it was Elijah Cummings all on the Senate floor talking about, we need to impeach him immediately. And I'm talking about, have you been back to Baltimore? Won't you go get some fire about that? Right?
Yeah. Well, hey, Leo, thank you for coming on with us. It's been an honor, man. You need to come back on more. Okay. You need to come on with us again. So tell everyone really quick how they can connect with you.
You can connect with me pretty much. I'm mostly on my YouTube and my Facebook at Leo Dunson. My Facebook is Leo Dunson Jr. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so proud of this show, amazed by this show, and we'll hope it becomes great. As a matter of fact, I'm going to help it become great by tweeting and sharing. And
Firepower with Will Johnson.
Welcome back to Firepower with Will Johnson and me, Tom Pappert. Our guest for the rest of this broadcast is Deanna Lorraine. And Deanna is doing the very brave thing. She is running against one Nancy Pelosi in the House of Representatives. I can only imagine the gall it takes to do something like that, to run against this woman who is absolutely going crazy over impeachment. So welcome to the show, Deanna.
Thanks so much. It's so good to be here.
Hey, how you going?
Hey,
nice to see you again.
What's up, my man? What's up, Will? How's it going?
Good, great, great. I'm excited to see that you're running for office there against no other than Nancy Pelosi.
did you call her? I'm sorry, did you call her Nancy or did you call her Nasty?
Because Nasty, that's what we're, okay,
let's
okay,
call her,
correction.
Call her official name. Let's call her by her official name.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be a really exciting campaign, so I'm glad you guys have me on to talk about it.
Awesome.
Absolutely. So I'm wondering, you know, you've got an interesting background and I want to get into that. Absolutely. But tell us, what inspired you to take the step of actually running against this swamp creature, Nasty Pelosi?
Well, look, San Francisco, it is ground zero for cultural rot in America, right? And Nancy Pelosi, she is the embodiment of that cultural rot. That's why I'm taking the fight right to the front lines, right to the soul of America, fighting for that soul of America and fighting for our families of America and bringing that, the problems right to her doorstep, the issues that I have really big issues with. I mean, look, this is someone that I believe every single problem in America and the destruction of America is really being headed by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats right now. And I just have been so inspired and nervous, but mostly inspired and excited to run against her and challenge her because she really hasn't had a good, strong, legitimate challenger in decades. And she is someone that is just leading this impeachment hearing, you know, and we need someone that's going to be a real defender of our president in office. We need someone who's going to be his champion and who's going to help him enact the America First agenda that we all voted for. It's not happening. We're being blocked. And so that's what we need. So that really inspired me to run and be his support system there.
Yeah, you know, in California, it's an uphill battle because you have all the people that are completely, totally brainwashed, right? They don't even recognize what's been happening to them. And San Francisco is one of the cities that it has, you know, the needles and the feces everywhere. And, you know, just it's nasty. It's dirty. You know, right. Someone like you can come in and clean it up. What has the struggle been like so far for you? And are you getting support from the local GOP?
That's a good question. Actually, so far, I've actually had a lot more resistance from the GOP than I have on the left. And I know that the left is coming. I know that they're going to be coming and those hit pieces will be coming. But to be honest with you, I've actually had less support from the GOP, the local GOP. It seems like they want to install these more older, rhino-esque kind of candidates, but not ones that are true supporters of President Trump, not ones that are proud to be President Trump supporters, who are proud conservatives and who really want to be a champion for conservative values. They don't really want to hear about that. They don't seem like they want fresh, young candidates. They want to just keep on recycling the old, used up, washed ones. And there is one other Republican candidate that is running along with two other very hard leftist candidates. And that person, this is his fourth time running. And I hate to say it, but he's kind of a stereotypical older white Republican guy. He's been in the party for many, many years. And he doesn't have the energy or the fresh ideas to really run up against someone as a political monster as Nancy Pelosi. So that's what I'm facing so far. And then, of course, a lot of the brainwashed locals that live in San Francisco in the district. Yeah. You know, that don't seem, even though they see the problems, even though they see the homeless on the ground and the feces on the streets and the high price of rent, they see those things, but it seems like they just, they keep electing the same people in, and it's very frustrating.
Yeah, to be honest with you, and Tom's going to ask another question, be honest with you, I don't even think they're electing them. I think they're just putting them in place. This is my personal opinion. I think there's so much corruption in the state of California. I mean, it's very difficult. So go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, totally. It's like they're just comfortable and they just feel like they're content, right?
Yep.
Right. So I have to ask, I mean, this is a recurring theme on this show. We have candidates on and they say, I'm not getting any support from the party. The grassroots are great, but the party is ignoring me. So how do you plan to circumvent these dinosaur Republicans who are fine to just keep losing and losing and losing cycle after cycle?
Well, part of my strategy, and it's starting to work actually, is just showing how intense and enthusiastic the grassroots support is. Because my online support has been incredible. When people interact with me in person and the locals and nationwide, it's been incredible. They're very excited about my campaign. When I give talks, you know, they see the light, right? They see it. They see the future in that. They see the excitement. And it just, it's about really exposing what is no longer working, exposing these swamp creatures and their inadequacies, and really highlighting the strengths of someone, especially of a younger, you know, millennial generation. That's what I think is going to start turning people around. And I'm noticing people kind of like dominoes. More and more people are coming around to me, especially in the local GOP, and they start seeing the difference between a younger, fresh face and someone who's kind of an old rhino-esque dinosaur. It's going to happen, but it takes enthusiasm and it takes persistence.
Yeah. Have you talked to Ellen Zhao?
Yeah,
she's running for governor. I'm sorry, not governor, but mayor of San Francisco. Yeah, she's running for mayor of San Francisco. Have you been in communication with her? Because you really should team up with her, because she's been getting similar resistance from the GOP as well.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And she's actually going to be joining me, too, on my San Francisco city cleanup that I'm going to be doing on Monday on the 7th. You know, she's going to be joining me as well. And it's just the weirdest thing. Why do they keep on electing the same old, tired, ineffective politicians into this do-nothing Congress? You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Are we insane as a country? You want to keep electing the same politicians that lead us into poverty and suffering and the things that are happening right now in our party? We just can't afford to do that anymore. It's time for new leadership. It's time for a younger, fresher leadership especially.
I completely agree.
So I understand that you've got a very fascinating background and a fascinating platform. You've written books, you've counseled on relationships, and one of your big things is how to rebuild families, rebuild human connections between men and women. I'm wondering if you can just kind of explain some of this to the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually wrote a book called Making Love Great Again, which I have here. And the book is really about how something that I've discovered over the years working as a relationship and personal development coach is I've seen firsthand the destruction of the left and feminism and progressivism, how it's actually destroyed not only our country, America, but it's also destroyed our culture, the relationship between men and women, and the family unit. And my book is about really connecting the dots between progressivism, you know, Marxist leftist ideologies, and the destruction of our country and the family unit. So we, you know, what we need to really do, if we really want to make America great again, we also have to make our culture and our relationship between men and women great again and restore the family unit. Because strong relationships and strong families create a strong America. Our family unit and our relationship between men and women, if you haven't noticed, it's broken right now. And broken and fatherless homes have been directly created by the left. They've been using government to replace the family, removing God and morals from our culture, and pushing radical feminism while demonizing and disempowering men. So this is what we need to do, actually, as part of not only our country, but in the cultural aspect of things.
All right. Well, look, we're going to talk more after this break, because I want to ask you a question. What's the next step that you've got in your campaign? All right. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to Firepower with Will Johnson and myself, Tom Pappert. Our guest for the rest of this broadcast is Deanna Lorraine. She is an author. She is a video personality on YouTube. She's a commentator. And most importantly, she is running against Nancy Pelosi in the House of Representatives. So, Deanna, we were talking. Nasty Pelosi, that's right.
She corrected me. I'm just saying, make sure we get it right.
That's right. We got the same right. It's only fair. And we were showing a clip of her earlier in this broadcast where she says that the Democrats trying to impeach President Trump, this is basically the American Revolution. They're George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. They're crossing the Delaware right now. So what do you think of this latest insanity that Pelosi is pushing?
Oh, you know what? I mean, she's trying to lead the country into a coup. This is just a coup of President Trump, right? We have a duly elected president, and yet she doesn't want to listen to or honor
the votes of over 60 million Americans. Not only is this the most un-American thing possible, this is the most vile thing possible. And it's such a people. And we know for a fact that anything that the Democrats say that someone else is doing, like President Trump, you can bet your bottom dollar that is always them, the Democrats, that are guilty of those very same crimes, right?
Yep. You would think because Nancy Pelosi, you would think that with the way she presents herself half the time, it almost like she's intoxicated. I mean, she's been in political office for so many years. Like you said, it's time for new blood to come into that position. How do you reach these, liberals and these Democrats and these socialists that live in San Francisco? How do you reach them and tell them that you are the best candidate right now?
Well, you know, it's really about persuasion and it's about actions. You know, some of the things that I'm doing, it's important for them to see me in action and see Nancy Pelosi not in action, sitting on her behind. So some of the big problems just in the District of San Francisco is obviously the homelessness and the trash on the streets in many of the areas. But Nancy Pelosi, if she spent less time, you know, actually talking about identity politics and talking about which gender pronouns that we should use and giving free health care to illegal immigrants and more time actually focusing on the real problems that real Americans are dealing with, we may actually make real progress. But we can't expect her to do that anytime soon. We can't expect her to actually focus on the real problems that Americans care about and that are dealing with. Yep. I'm putting on a hazmat suit on Monday, and I'm going to actually go and clean up one of the most dangerous parts of San Francisco. Wow. Clean up the garbage, clean them up around the homeless tents. And I don't care because I want to get my hands dirty. You know, this is part of being someone who serves the public. Is someone who remembers that we are, the government is supposed to serve us, we the people.
Yes.
We're not supposed to serve them. And they need to be able to get their hands dirty, do the dirty work, be in the trenches with each other and actually fix these real problems. I challenge Nancy Pelosi to join me in a hazmat suit on Monday, and clean up garbage in the homeless areas. Let's just see if she comes. I highly doubt she will.
You know, that's a good challenge, but I highly doubt that she's going to ever. She probably won't even clean up the trash off the kitchen counter, let alone go out the street and clean something.
She's not going to lift a finger, and that's the thing with them. You know, I think if the more I show that I'm a real person, okay, I'm not a seasoned politician, and I haven't been locked up in a gate-guarded mansion or in Washington for the last 30 years out of touch with Americans. I'm an average American, and I've been in the trenches with other Americans. And I think, though, now is the time for ordinary Americans to do bold and extraordinary things to save the America that we know and love. Now is the time to jump in there and actually defend the president of our United States, because we don't want the rest of America to turn into San Francisco. That's the campaign I'm running on. We don't want the rest of America to be engulfed in the flames of socialism. Once we turn that dial and we go too far down socialism, we're not going to get it back. We're not going to get our Constitution back. We would never get our Second Amendment rights back if we kept chipping away at them, right? We have to stop this before it gets too far. And I advise everyone to take that call in their own unique, bold way, whether it's running for Congress or running for something else. Do something extraordinary, even though you're ordinary, because now is the time.
Yep, absolutely.
That's a beautiful message, and I hope that more and more people will take that advice and actually get out there and do things. And I just want you to kind of expand on this, because I know this is Monday, October 7th, and I know you're going to be cleaning up this neighborhood. But I mean, I think that those of us who live in Texas or elsewhere in the Midwest or even parts of the South, we don't understand exactly how terrible the conditions are on the ground in some parts of San Francisco. So why are you wearing a hazmat suit?
You know, it's not all of San Francisco, you know, and I want to clarify, sometimes there's misrepresentation in the media and everything. It's not all of San Francisco. Some districts are nice and clean, but, there's certain areas that have a lot of homelessness on the streets We have individuals that are shooting up drugs, that are strung out. You literally don't know if they're dead or alive. We have feces on the street. We have tons of garbage and needles on the streets, literally. So you want to be safe. You want to cover up all areas of your body. You want to wear heavy-duty gloves in case you touch syringes. You don't want to chance those kinds of things. And that is the thing. You know, most of these people that are there are American citizens that are suffering. And there are brothers and sisters at the end of the day. There are American brothers and sisters. This is why it's an American problem. And yet Nancy Pelosi is so concerned about, you know, focusing on illegal immigrants that she can't even care about our own citizens. Nancy Pelosi is America last. Trump is America first. And the more that we keep highlighting that, the more I think that people will come around to me. She says, for instance, she is pro-woman, but how is she pro-woman when we have Kate Steinleys all over? You know, people who are dying, and she's wanting to chip away at gun rights and leave vulnerable people and women disarmed from criminal illegal aliens. She is not for the American people. The more that we can highlight that contrast, the better the voters.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think about them trying to impeach President Trump, her leading the charge on that, right? What do you think? Okay, just humor me. Because we're all speculating here, because, I mean, they have nothing on President Trump. They're constantly lying about it, right? Yeah, a big nothing, right? So let's say after all this is said and done, what do you think their next step will be for President Trump? And on top of that, how do you think you running against Nancy Pelosi is going to benefit you with this whole impeachment thing?
Well, first of all, you know, like I said, if the Democrats are accusing someone of something, you can take it to the bank that it is they, the Democrats, who are guilty of the same crime. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is a classic case of projection, Democrat playbook 101. They are accusing them and covering up their own crimes of what they have been doing. There is nothing that they have on Donald Trump. They decided before Trump went into office that they would impeach him over something. And if they couldn't find a crime, they would create a crime.
This is
This is what they're doing. All this is Russia Gate the sequel. That's it. This is what Ukraine is. It's Russia Gate the sequel. They know it. You know it. I know it. And I believe that more people, and this is what I'm seeing in the voters too, they're getting sick and tired of this. They're getting sick and tired of this witch hunt of CNN and MSNBC playing this over and over again. And they're wanting a country that's more united. They want to just watch a president lead. We had to sit with Obama for many years. Okay. We hated him, but we weren't throwing things at the TV every day, hoping that he would get impeached, or at least not out loud. But this is something where she's literally, they're dividing the whole country, and it's already divided enough. People are sick of it. People want unity. People want strength. We want patriotism. Donald Trump is trying very hard to lead us in that direction. He's doing a great job, but he needs people in office that will support him. This impeachment trial is going to go nowhere, but they're going to drag it out as long as possible. And I honestly believe they're going to lose more voters in the process.
Mm. Well, cool. We're right at the end. So you want to tell everyone how they can connect with you and support you.
Absolutely. Go to my website, first of all, at deannaforcongress.com. That's deannaforcongress.com. You can see my full platform and policies. I am for God, family, and country, because those are the three things that are missing so much right now is patriotism, strong families, and our morals. We need to right this ship. Check it out. You can donate. Also, join me on Twitter, where all the action is. I post a lot, Deanna4 with the number 4 Congress. And you can also learn about my cleanup in San Francisco on October 7th and see how that all goes. But
So maybe if all is well, you can come back on with Tom and myself and talk about the cleanup. That would be great.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming on with us. It's a pleasure to see you again. We look forward to seeing you next time. All right, awesome. All right, so this is it. We're at the end here, and I want to thank everyone for going to ban that video and sharing it. And, of course, thank you for supporting our sponsors. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Ban.video, InfoWarsStore.com. Good night, and God bless.